Welcome to Think Again, a podcast by Macquarie Asset Management, providing financial advisors with a fresh perspective and innovative insights designed to keep you and your clients a step ahead.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Denise St. Ivany. Today, I'm joined by Bill Roach, senior trader at Macquarie Asset Management in the municipal bond area of the firm. Bill, great to have you on again.
Great. Thanks for having me.
We are fresh off the Fed's recent February 1st announcement, and we also want to discuss municipal bonds, which we highlighted in our 2023 Outlook, Actionable Ideas for a Volatile World, as a key theme for investors. So let's start with a big question. What's your interpretation of the Fed's announcement?
Yeah, I think it was an interesting announcement. What was interesting to our team is that they kind of gave exactly what the market was asking for in 25 basis points. And I thought there wasn't really a lot of surprises in the press conference, but the markets reacted obviously really big, right, with the S&P up, called about 2.5% right after, and the NASDAQ up even bigger, and 10-year down, you know, 10 basis points, all pretty quick. And I guess the one maybe surprise that people could have, markets could have kind of pulled out of the press conference was they seemed to downplay the easing of the financial conditions. I think maybe the markets have interpreted that and that they won't necessarily continue hiking until financial conditions tighten from here. And I think Chairman Powell did a nice job pointing out that financial conditions are in fact tighter than they were this time last year, albeit much looser than they were probably when we last spoke in the fall. So I think markets took it similar to maybe the November CPI print as a little bit of a green light to get back into risk and get back into duration, and that maybe the worst is over from a inflation point of view. But I think it'll be interesting from here to see if they send the other chairs and the other federal FOMB members out on the talking tour to talk markets down and try to retighten those financial conditions. And if they do that, how soon after this meeting will they have to do it?
So investors know at this point, we got to, you know, this hike. But then what about further out? I know you mentioned, you know, we're going to be listening to what the others say, not just Powell, but what the others say throughout the country. But what about further down the year or over the course of the year? What do you think investors should be looking for?
I don't think our view really changed a whole lot. I think we're still looking for another couple of hikes to get to, you know, the upper bound, at least with a 5 handle or maybe a 5.25. I think, you know, for municipal bonds, it maybe matters a little less what that ultimate peak Fed funds rate is. And it matters a little less than some other markets of when we ultimately get cuts. You know, our market's driven by the long end. And I think the long end of the curve rallying a little bit and going down in yields is probably a little bit of an alleviation of inflation fears and probably a little bit of a confirmation that maybe the other thing we've seen since we last spoke is that data really has softened a little bit. The economy seems like things are slowing down and getting a little softer. And we're not quite seeing it in the labor market yet, but the long end of the treasury curve is telling you that growth expectations are slowing down, and that's a positive for our market anyway. And I think that you'll continue to see that. I think it's been our view really since probably the middle of last year that what we would see is the Fed continue to hike and the curve continue to invert. And I think it's probably our expectation that inversion continues to go deeper in the first half of the year as they get towards that ultimate 5.25 type terminal rate.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how that affects the consumers. What about the consumer strength? How do you think the consumer strength here in the U.S. is holding up?
I think if you ask the Fed, they'd say it's stubborn. And I think as long as people are still employed and people still have jobs, people will continue to spend money. And that's kind of where you're going to see in 23, maybe the baton get passed at the Federal Reserve from all eyes on inflation. I think you're starting to see a little bit more, certainly in financial media, talking more about the employment situation. Recession is, you know, everybody's base case at this point. But I think the Fed is going to be looking now to see whether that you see evidence of that in the employment numbers and how high they've gotten and how long they've held there until you see that probably has a pretty big impact on how deep the recession is. Consumer is still strong. And if you have money, people are going to spend it. And we need to see that kind of flow through into the labor market. I think one other thing to think about as we look at the labor market and the question that we ask a lot on the trading desk is, could we have a softening labor market that doesn't look like previous recessions? And particularly meaning one of the things we look at and we think we're going to stay in a lower for longer type slow growth environment is the number of people that are retiring and the clip at which that'll accelerate. Is that a big enough kind of structural force to keep unemployment low as employment does indeed soften? Because you have those people leaving the labor force. I think that'll be an interesting sort of story to play out. Probably not just through this year, but through the next few years as maybe economists and statisticians sharpen their pencils on how to look at employment a little bit as we have the baby boomer generation start retiring in much larger numbers.
Well, we certainly know the muni market doesn't always go in lockstep with the rest of the fixed income world. So let's dive specifically into muni bonds. What does the interest rate environment look like for the muni bond area?
Yeah, I think the first thing, the massive move in interest rates that we saw last year did is obviously start that outflow cycle we talked about last time in the fall. And that was really ended up being the largest outflow cycle for whatever reason. It ended up being almost exactly a calendar year outflow cycle. I think we saw first week of outflows in the end of January last year and the last week of outflows in the last week of December this year. So we're off to a stronger start to positive inflows, which is good for our marketplace. But, you know, what those outflows did was really drive underperformance on the curve and underperformance of credit. And it's something we always see in mutual fund outflow cycles is that mutual funds really are the loan buyer credit and curve in our market, loan natural buyer. So you do see those parts of our market outperform. And kind of, you know, as we lean into those areas of the market and our process and position our portfolios there, it was certainly a difficult year for us. It was in some ways interesting to look and say, find some comfort in that because the market was still functioning as we've seen it function in the past. And there was still some dependability that those are areas that will snap back because of the short-term technical. And that's certainly what we've seen a couple brief periods last year and then certainly in the month of January this year. You know, treasury rates stabilize, mutual fund flows turn, and credit curve performs again. We think there's still a lot of room left to run, particularly for curve. If you look at last year, the index return, index was down roughly 8.5%. The long end of our curve was down almost 16%, so almost double what the index was down. And that, while it does typically underperform, the magnitude to which it underperformed last year, and again, probably because of the rate-driven nature of the sell-off, was really exacerbated. But again, I think I mentioned before, our market really does come and go, and fund flows tend to come and go with where rates are 10 years and out. So that's where we're still focused, is trying to look at where we think 10-year and 30-year yields will be.
We did see flows, you know, change in the muni world with the investors. What about folks that have been on the sidelines? Have they missed out?
In the fall, we kind of talked about maybe a little bit of opportunity going into the Fed meetings. We've seen a lot of volatility last year, kind of in between data and the Fed. And we did see that, and we saw the ultimate low in our market in around October. And I think what we saw then was that high-grade 5% coupon bonds crossed over to a discount, which was something we really hadn't even seen a lot of during the financial crisis. So to put some context around just the absolute level of yields and price in our market, and you saw a tremendous amount of demand from retail where they could buy those structures. And that tends to be bonds that get put away and don't come back out again. So that definitely helped to soak up some of the excess supply. And at the same time, we obviously got a great print on the CPI front in November. And there's a little bit of a turn in risk sentiment, and munis benefited from that for a good chunk of the quarter. We did give a fair amount of that back in the last couple of weeks of the year, as I think, you know, ourselves included, a lot of people were ready to shut down early after 2022 and enjoy the holidays, and liquidity really just evaporated. But we really kind of saw that get pulled back in January. So I think our view as a team is that we hopefully probably put the lows in the municipal bond market. And so from a standpoint, if you were trying to, you know, catch the bottom, have you missed it? We think you probably have. That being said, I think as the Fed sort of hands the baton from inflation to employment and more people talk about recession, there's going to be some bumps along the way. Markets don't travel in straight lines, and I think there's probably still some opportunity to be had after we've seen a very strong start to the year in January. You know, our thought as we would look at approaching the first half of this year and finishing out the first half of this year is that this might be a more normal year where muni technicals take hold again. So where do we typically see opportunity from a calendar year standpoint? January is typically pretty strong. We give some of that back in March and April as people raise money to pay taxes. And then we tend to see a little bit of weakness as we get a little bit of excess supply in May. I always like to say municipal bond bankers like their summer holidays and their vacations too. So we tend to slow down in the summer months, and we tend to get that supply pulled forward. So we see the same thing at the end of the summer. We see a lot of supply gets held off through June, July, and August. And then we see a little bit of softness in September and October. So as long as this is a little bit more normal year, I think those will be good opportunities. And then I think, you know, if we see some economic bumps along the road or some bumps from the Federal Reserve along the road, those are probably good opportunities to take advantage of and buy. Because again, you know, muni credit is in really good shape. We're not experiencing kind of the same recessionary story or potential for spread widening and underperformance that other fixed income markets might see. Credit is in good shape. It tends to lag in recessions and economic slowdowns by about a year to 18 months, meaning muni credit fundamentals. And, you know, our view is that ultimately we're going to be in a lower for longer environment, you know, towards the end of this year, or maybe we've already seen peak yields, in tens and thirties.
Thanks for that perspective, Bill. One of the things that you mentioned, or as I heard you interpret it, is that bonds are bonds again. And we had some outflows in the muni space, but the typical muni bond buyer is a long-term buyer, long-term investor. Do you expect to see that again?
Yeah, and I think that could be really powerful for munis. I think, you know, bonds are back, and if they start reacting in a portfolio the way people expect them to, that'll be good for flows in our market. And really for munis, one thing that we look at our marketplace, and I think got lost a little bit last year and the largest ever outflow cycle by total size or, you know, duration or however you want to measure it, is that over a trailing 5-year period, we've seen a couple pretty big developments in the muni market. We first saw several years of really strong inflows. And if you go back over 5 years, we're still up about 110 to 115 billion as we start the year here, which if you just divided that by five is five pretty good muni inflow years. So we've seen a lot of demand despite a year of a lot of selling. Those last 5 years also represent the time that's passed since the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, where tax-exempt advance or funding was taken out of our market. And at the time, you know, that was 15 to 20% of issuance. And I think some people thought it'll be a couple challenging years of supply and we'll move on and the market will adjust. I think what we've seen as you look back is we've seen 5 years of net negative tax-exempt supply, where some significant portion of tax-exempt paper was refinanced with taxable paper. So without getting too much further into the weeds there, what that means is there's been more money chasing less bonds for 5 years. And when we get in these periods where we have a little bit more stability in yields and a little less pressure from outflows, that dynamic is still very powerful in our market. And we think that's a longer term trend that'll persist in munis. So if we get some stability and bonds can be bonds and you can earn without having to have too much volatility day to day or week to week or month to month, we think that longer term technical will take hold. And this is probably a pretty good entry point. I mentioned, you know, in your previous question, I think, did you miss the bottom if you've been sitting on the sideline all year? You know, our team's answer would be yes, but we still view this as a pretty good entry point if you're a long-term investor.
Bonds are back. All in all, you've painted a pretty good picture for the muni bond space. Don't forget, you can read all the highlights from our investment teams and actionable ideas for a volatile world. Just visit delawarefunds.com/outlooks to learn more.
Thanks for listening. Check out the show notes for more information on topics from this episode. And be sure to subscribe to Think Again wherever you get your podcasts. This recording is intended for financial professionals and institutional investors only. This is not intended for use with the general public. The views expressed in this podcast represent those of the speaker and are subject to change. Nothing presented should be construed as a recommendation to purchase or sell any security or follow any investment technique or strategy, and does not constitute advice, advertisement, an invitation, a confirmation, an offer or solicitation to engage in any investment activity or an offer of any banking or financial service. Investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal. All examples herein are for illustrative purposes only, and there can be no assurance that any particular investment objective will be realized, or any investment strategy seeking to achieve such objective will be successful. Past performance is not a reliable indication of future performance. Before acting on any information, consider the appropriateness of it with regard to your particular objectives, financial situation, and needs, and seek advice. No representation or warranty expressed or implied is made as to the accuracy or completeness of the information, opinions, and conclusions presented. In preparing this recording, reliance has been placed, without independent verification, on the accuracy and completeness of all information available from external sources. Macquarie Asset Management is the asset management division of Macquarie Group. Macquarie Asset Management is a full-service asset manager offering a diverse range of products across public and private markets, including fixed income, equities, multi-asset solutions, private credit, infrastructure, renewables, natural assets, real estate, and asset finance. The public investment business is a part of Macquarie Asset Management and includes investment products and advisory services distributed and offered by and referred through affiliates, which include Delaware Distributors, LP, a registered broker/dealer, and member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and Macquarie Investment Management Business Trust, a Securities and Exchange Commission registered investment advisor. Investment advisory services are provided by a series of MIMBT. Macquarie Group refers to Macquarie Group Limited and its subsidiaries and affiliates worldwide. Delaware Funds by Macquarie refers to certain investment solutions that Macquarie Asset Management Public Investment distributes, offers, refers, or advises. Other than the Macquarie Bank Limited, any Macquarie Group entity noted in this podcast is not an authorized deposit-taking institution for the purposes of the Banking Act 1959. The obligations of these other Macquarie Group entities do not represent deposits or other liabilities of Macquarie Bank. Macquarie Bank does not guarantee or otherwise provide assurance in respect of the obligations of these Macquarie Group entities. In addition, if this podcast relates to an investment, the investor is subject to investment risk, including possible delays in repayment and loss of income and principal invested, and none of the Macquarie Bank or any other Macquarie Group entity guarantees any particular rate of return on or the performance of the investment, nor do they guarantee repayment of capital in respect of the investment.